Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I would normally be joined, I had planned on being joined by Pete. He is still under the weather, though, so what I'm going to do for this show, it's going to be a shorter one. There's going to be a lot of minutia to get through over the course of the next couple months or so, but what I'm going to do with this one is I'm going to use this as like a primer, a post-lottery primer for the options that the Lakers have ahead of them, having secured the top four pick. It's great news for everybody, right? This is about as well as the Lakers could have realistically and mathematically hoped for the lottery to turn out. The Celtics slide all the way down to 14, and that pick that we had been told about all season, it turns out it is not all that useful. They will be at the in the 14th spot. That Sacramento pick that we heard all year was going to be the difference on top of Jason Tatum. Of being this incredible trade package that the New Orleans Pelicans would be stupid to turn down. Right now, it honestly looks like the Lakers have the best combination of assets that they can send to New Orleans if New Orleans is actually willing to listen to them. So we're gonna talk about the options. We're gonna talk a little bit about the idea of trading the fourth pick. We're going to talk about who the Lakers could take at number four if they wind up keeping it, trading back, all of that good stuff. And I'm going to go in reverse order. So things that I think make the most sense, and we'll see what you guys think about this. But basically, this is a more of a general podcast to get everybody ready for the number of rumors and the type of speculation that we're probably going to see over the course of the next, I don't know, forever. It's going to feel like forever. So let's start here. I think the thing that makes the least amount of sense to me is to have the Lakers use this fourth overall pick and trade back so as to, you know, maybe grab an extra asset here or there and do that kind of thing. That type of approach to an NBA draft is usually reserved to teams that are still in the early stages of rebuilding. Maybe they don't believe in the player that they would be drafting this high in the draft, and they're thinking more of a quality versus quantity kind of thing. And frankly, if the Lakers were such a team that was in the early stages of rebuilding, and this was the spot that they were in, this is what I would advise. Frankly, the after Zion Williamson, and look. Some people are really high on Ja Morant. Some people are not quite as high. I'm kind of in the middle there, where I worry about a player whose stock rises as much as his did in the NCAA tournament. That's not to say that he won't be a superstar. I haven't done nearly enough research to speak definitively on any of these of the guys up at the top of the draft. But, you know, after Zion, I just don't see a for sure star who I would bank on at that level of the draft. So if the Lakers were, let's say they go insane and they trade away LeBron, right? And in trading away LeBron, they net another couple assets, if not this year, but moving forward. Not to say that this is what they should do, what they will do, anything like that. I'm just saying if that was the direction that they went in, that this is the spot where I would say, okay, yeah, trade back from four, get another couple picks, maybe either in this draft or in a draft that I believe a little bit more in. Get what you can, see if you can find a little bit more value, relative value, especially later in this first round, and move forward with the organization in the best way that you can possibly do that, right? It would be really dumb of them to do it in the spot that they're in right now. They either need a player who can step in and immediately help, which you're more likely to find that at this stage of the draft than you are later in the draft. You either need that or you need to be able to turn this draft pick into the type of player that can further this reset button, you know, completely cleanse the palate from the disappointment that was last year. Whether that's Anthony Davis, whether that is Bradley Beal, whoever that player might be, that's the kind of trade that the Lakers should be making. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick second and gather ourselves. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about players that they can take with this pick. I think the most realistic thing to get yourself ready for is trading the pick. I'm going to get into that in the third segment. But here in this next segment, I want to talk a little bit about some of the names that you're going to hear a little bit about over the course of the next few weeks, or even, you know, I guess we're at about a month. Yeah, the draft is about a month and a few days, a month and some change away. So over the next month, I'm gonna give you a few names that you're gonna hear the most about, and then finally in the third segment, like I said, we're gonna get into some of the trade scenarios that you're gonna, more realistic trade scenarios than just moving back and trying to double down on this draft. Hang tight, we'll be back here in a second. All right, so there are much better draft experts on the internet than I am. And to that point, yesterday I basically swapped Darius Garland with Jarrett Culver, which is not the kind of thing you want to do if you want to come off as an expert, which, you know, look, I'm not even going to try to pretend to be a draft expert, but I did do a little bit of research here. I did do some reading throughout the day to try to get you guys ready for this. So I'm going to start with Sam Vecenie's mock draft. He is of The Athletic. I'm going to have him on the pod, hopefully in the next couple weeks or so, if not sooner, to go over some of these scenarios. But right now at 4, he has the Lakers taking Jarrett Culver. He is a 6'6 wing out of Texas Tech. He's a sophomore. His game, he has a little Paul George to him, or a little Chris Middleton to him. That's not to say that that's the type of player that I think he can be. I don't like it when you throw out a name who is the absolute best case scenario of a player, just like we saw with Brandon Ingram and Kevin Durant. It just doesn't make any sense for the player who is going to be drafted to have that kind of expectation heaped on them right away. I'm just going to read what Sam has here from The Athletic. By the way, you have to subscribe to The Athletic. It's just the caliber of content that they throw out there is incredible, and it's well worth the amount of money. But here's what Sam writes. This is just the first graph, and I'll let you guys go back and check out the rest of his stuff. Quote, "What an incredible stroke of luck for the Lakers, who now get yet another additional asset to go out and either help LeBron James with or to potentially acquire a star with. My bet is that they would rather use this pick as part of a trade to acquire that star. Think Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, guys like that. Beal particularly stands out if the Pelicans end up getting a better offer for Davis than the number 4 pick, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Kyle Kuzma. But if they end up keeping the pick, they'll have to make a call on whether or not they think any of these players can help their team sooner rather than later. In my opinion, Culver is that guy. The team really struggled at the two guard spot over the last 2 years. One of the breakout stars of college basketball, the Texas Tech wing, has developed into a high-level shot creator who also plays well within a team construct." That sounds incredible. He's also, by the way, Jarrett Culver, an underrated defender. I like everything that I hear about this kid. I really liked him I'm not going to complain, or I'm not going to pretend that I sat down and watched all kinds of Texas Tech games over the course of the season. But, you know, Texas Tech did have that really good run throughout the tournament. And I just think, generally speaking, if you're going to kind of double down or overlap skill sets or overlap positions in the NBA, you're best doing that at the wing spot, right? Yes, Theoretically speaking, the Lakers could go in the direction of a Darius Garland, who is a point guard who can shoot and handles the ball really well, all of those things, and could in theory play with Lonzo Ball. But here with Jarrett Culver, he just offers up a skill set at 6'6". He's a big shooting guard. He just makes a lot of sense for what the Lakers could potentially use at a position that, you know, they had KCP. He wasn't very good last year. Josh Hart was really good, and then his tendonitis in his knees really kicked up and jumped up and bit him. They had Lance Stevenson play there some, but he's Lance Stevenson, and hopefully he won't be back there next year. Jarrett Culver is top of the lottery talent at a position of need. I like this pick a lot. The next CBS and CBS and others. So CBS has this pick. Yahoo agrees on CBS's take. Bleacher Report also agrees in this, and they all have the Lakers taking DeAndre Hunter, who is a small forward slash power forward out of Virginia. Here's my thing with this pick. If the Lakers, let's say they use Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram in some kind of other trade to acquire, say, Bradley Beal, and this asset or not even Bradley Beal, but somebody a shooting guard type player, right? Let's say that's the direction they go in here. Then maybe DeAndre Hunter makes a little bit more sense. But you add DeAndre Hunter to a team that already has Kuzma, already has Ingram, already has LeBron, who is probably going to have to play the majority of next season at the four. It's just really cramped right there. And maybe you think that Hunter can really be a really good small forward. I'm a little skeptic on that. But, you know, I'm not, like I said, not an expert on this stuff. I'm interested to see, you know, what the case is going to be made for Hunter over the course of the next month or so. But as of right now, between Hunter and Culver just seems like a more natural fit. The last guy, I've kind of alluded to him already, Darius Garland, is a real unknown. And the reason I'm bringing him up as the last option here is if the Lakers go in this direction, they have to know something that we don't, right? They really have to have. Now, he is a clutch client, which I don't know whether that helps or hurts him at this point. He was at the NBA Combine, the Draft Combine, and then left, having gotten some kind of a promise in the lottery, right? So something's going on there. But he was at Vanderbilt. He's the player that I was talking about yesterday with Harrison. He was at Vanderbilt and left for out of concern for some kind of rule breaking that happens in the NCAA. I'm not going to hold that against them because, frankly, I think the NCAA is one of the more corrupt governing bodies in sport. Period. The NCAA and FIFA basically like get together every year and they're like, "All right, who's going to be worse this year?" So I'm not going to hold Darius Garland accountable. Well, not necessarily not accountable, but I'm not going to hold some stupid rule that he was concerned about breaking and wound up leaving Vanderbilt for. But he does offer a few things that the Lakers need. First and foremost, as a point guard, being able to spread the floor alongside LeBron James is really important. That's the main concern offensively for Lonzo Ball. He's also able to score out of the pick and roll, which the Lakers did not employ last year. They didn't have anybody who could do that kind of thing. The concern here is that he's only 6'2", and he's only 174. So I don't know how good a player with that kind of a frame is going to be defensively, which is really important. That's, you know, one of the reasons why I really like Lonzo Ball as a player moving forward, especially alongside LeBron, is his big frame really creates troubles for players offensively. He's not as good on the point of attack, but if you just let Lonzo roam around and wreak havoc, and he gets to use his instincts fully, that's the kind of player that I think the Lakers could really use. And if you use this draft pick, and it's Jarrett Culver, and you pair him with Lonzo Ball, that allows Lonzo to move into that kind of rover position that makes a lot of sense for his skill set defensively. And then Culver being able to shoot the ball a little bit, though, you know, he didn't shoot in large quantities from deep and you know, NBA type range last year in college. If he can hit three pointers a little bit, and he can get out there and defend more at the point of attack and allow Lonzo Ball to play rover, that's the kind of backcourt I think really makes a lot of sense for the Lakers. The question is, can he do that? Can he immediately step in and do those kinds of things at the NBA level? Not just in typical terms either. He has to be able to do that at LeBron James team type expectations. And I just, that seems like a lot to ask. That really does. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. That'll do it though for this segment of what types of players you're going to hear about the most. And it's going to be Jarrett Culver. It's going to be DeAndre Hunter. And it's going to be Darius Garland. Unless you see some crazy name pop up. Maybe RJ Barrett drops. Maybe the Lakers go dumb and go with like a Cam Reddish. We'll see. But I wanted to start with these three names because they seem to make the most sense right now. We're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the direction that I think is most likely that the Lakers take, and that's trading the pick. All right, so last but not least here, we are going to go and we're going to talk about the Lakers' options in trading the pick. And I'm going to focus on two players. First and foremost, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Anthony Davis, right? The thinking here is that, and for a lot of people, this is where they immediately jump to as soon as the Lakers grab that fourth overall pick. The concern here is that they might have done too much damage over the course of last year in their negotiation tactics, that New Orleans might not be interested at all in sending Anthony Davis. And that was the report that Brian Windhorst threw out there over the course of yesterday. I wrote about it for Silver Screen and Roll. And look, the thing here to keep in mind is before these teams can go into actual negotiation, this is where they try to front as much as they possibly can, right? This is where you build as much leverage against the team that you're going to be trying to negotiate, you're going to be negotiating against. Like that right now is when you posture as much as you can. That's why you see David Griffin going out there and saying that he's going to try to convince Anthony Davis to stay. That's why you get a leak like Brian Windhorst relayed to the public yesterday, saying that the Pelicans, if they do trade him, are not at all interested in dealing with the Lakers, right? The Lakers, to their credit, Rob Pelinka, to his credit, is saying that the Lakers are focused on potentially using the pick because of the incredible value that a top-level draft pick, if it works out contractually, how valuable that type of a player could be. So right now, before these teams can actually get to the negotiating table, they're going to negotiate in the media. So that's kind of why you're seeing the things said that are being said right now. All that said, it just makes too much sense for both sides not to figure something out here, right? They could send Anthony Davis to Boston, but why would Boston give up everything in their cupboard for a guy who might leave in a year, especially considering the unknown that is Kyrie Irving, right? Technically speaking, the Knicks could throw together an offer, and the number 3 overall pick is better than the number 4 overall pick. So if New Orleans is absolutely sold on RJ Barrett, right, then okay, then they take the number 3 overall pick over the number 4 overall pick. But the problem is the Lakers can also offer Lonzo Ball or Brandon Ingram, and then at the next tier down goes to Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, those types of players. The Knicks don't have anybody like that, right? Kevin Knox was miserable last year. He wasn't very good. Mitchell Robinson is a promising young player, right? He's very raw, and he's athletic enough, and he changes a ton of shots at the rim. So, you know, maybe you talk yourself into that, but he's not on Lonzo or Ingram's level. And then Dennis Smith Jr. was a toss-in because he was, one, unhappy in Dallas because Luka Doncic should have the ball as often as possible. And when Dennis Smith Jr. had the ball in Dallas, he was a disaster. He wasn't very good either, right? So, you know, maybe some mystery team pops up, right? Maybe Denver looks at the rest of the league and after failing to make it to the Western Conference Finals, they say, okay, well, let's give this a go. Let's really go full bore and try to trade for Anthony Davis. But problem with that is Denver was not on Anthony Davis's initial trade request list, right? They aren't going to get a guarantee that he's going to stick around beyond next year. So are they really going to offer up Jamal Murray or Gary Harris or any of their other Malik Beasley, any of those guys, right? So, you know, maybe theoretically Philadelphia gets involved here and trades Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis. But if Philadelphia does that, they further piss off Rich Paul. They don't want to do that. And if Rich Paul gets pissed off, what are the chances that Anthony Davis sticks it out next year in Philadelphia, beyond next year in Philadelphia, right? So I guess my thing here is, and maybe I'm a homer, maybe I'm biased, but the Lakers have the trade package that makes sense. They are one of the few teams out there that is going to be willing to empty said cupboard for Davis, given the fact that he will likely commit beyond this season to the team. The matching makes too much sense. And look, Gail Benson and other NBA owners don't like to be told by their employees where to send them. So maybe there's some bitterness there towards Anthony Davis and putting them through what he did last year, that they're just going to flat out not send him to LA. But if that's the case, if that's her stance, she probably won't want to send him to New York. That's one of the teams he wanted to go to too, right? So I guess it's hard for me to look at the situation and not think that some type of a trade can be figured out. It just makes so much sense for both these sides. And especially given, like, I like Jarrett Culver, but I don't know if he's such a home run type prospect that you pass up on Anthony Davis for, given how little time you have with LeBron James. Now, there's this weird report out there that the Lakers don't want to be a LeBron James organization, and they don't want to focus too much of their building process towards LeBron. That's odd, right? Why have him on your team if that's going to be your stance? But maybe that gets in the way. And the other thing too, for New Orleans, a lot of people were thinking, well, the Lakers didn't get the first overall pick. That means no Anthony Davis, right? And especially seeing as New Orleans gets that first overall pick, and it is not an asset for anybody else to use. But that's exactly the thing here, right? Boston doesn't have the first overall pick. New York doesn't have the first overall pick. No other team does. New Orleans has that in their back pocket right now. They at least have that as a rebuilding block, and they can sell that to their fans if they move off of Anthony Davis, if they send Anthony Davis somewhere else, in this case, hopefully to the Lakers. But if they send Davis to the Lakers, they can talk to their fans and they can say, hey, here's at least this building block. And we already heard about I think they sold something like 3,000 season ticket packages right after they their fans found out about them winning the lottery. So they have this momentum here, and it makes it a little bit more palatable to move Anthony Davis having Zion Williamson in their back pocket. So that's just my thoughts on that. If it isn't Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal makes a ton of sense here for the Lakers. He is a bigger shooting guard. He was very good once John Wall got hurt last season. He can create off the dribble for himself and for teammates, which is important. He can spread the floor for LeBron James, and he's young enough that after LeBron James is retired, the Lakers at least have that building block that they can continue to try to carry that momentum forward with, right? So if you're looking for a trade to send to Washington, that number four pick, maybe like Kuzma, I don't know if you would even have to include Lonzo or Ingram in this case. What Washington would be moving Beal for are young building blocks and cap space or cap flexibility. Just getting off of, because you know, Beal is owed something like $75 or $80 million over the next 3 years. It makes some sense there for them to just say, okay, we kind of got to eat this one a little bit. John Wall is going to be super expensive here. We aren't going to be able to move that. Maybe if we are interested in moving John Wall, we get a couple of assets here and there, and we attach those assets to John Wall, but they don't have the assets right now to be able to do that. So they're just kind of stuck. They don't really have many options. And getting a top five pick, getting a promising young player, whether that's Kyle Kuzma, whether that's Josh Hart, let alone Brandon Ingram, Alonzo Ball, there's a trade to be figured out here. If the Lakers feel like they aren't gonna get somebody in free agency, this one seems to make some sense too. So keep an eye on that, and keep an eye on those two players. The last player here that I'll bring up, just in passing, he makes a little bit less sense than the other two players given his age and given the amount of money that he's going to be making. Is Mike Conley from Memphis. Memphis has already leaked out that they have their eyes set on Ja Morant, which means that Mike Conley is probably on his way out of Memphis. In a vacuum, Mike Conley is probably vastly overpaid. But for the Lakers, his contract ends potentially when LeBron James could opt out, and that makes it a little bit more feasible, right? I would much rather have, you know, maybe Kemba Walker for a little bit less money. Maybe, obviously, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant isn't happening, but Kawhi Leonard, if you think you have a chance at that. But if the Lakers, you know, if they're carrier pigeons, if their little spiders come back, and you find out that that the Lakers are probably going to strike out and out over the course of free agency, you know, you could do a little bit worse than Mike Conley. But that's the least interesting of the three names here. So that's all of the scenarios that I think we could lay out there. I went, like I said, in order of things that make the most sense. That way I could also spend more time as I went along on all of them. Let me know what you guys think. If you guys have any questions, leave them in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes, and I will get to those. But for now, I'm gonna go ahead and save my voice and hopefully be back here with Pete tomorrow so that I can throw these scenarios to him, see what he thinks about them, and pick up this conversation from there. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.